2 days later, we stripped off our white coveralls, then drew down the retractable shields to conceal the lights and displays on our suit fronts. We were all matte black now. Like mountaineers, we roped ourselves together with a braided line that doubled as safety rope and communications wire. Jad, Jessery, and I had spent much of the last shift working with the sextant and making calculations. These culminated with Fra Jad hanging off the underside of the nuke with a knife in one hand, sighting down the length of the tether as if it were a gun barrel, watching the constellations wheel behind it. At the instant when a particular star came into alignment with the tether, he slashed through it with a knife. The tether and the counterweight at its end flew off into space, and so did we, picking up a final momentum adjustment that would, we hoped, sink our orbit with that of the Dabinernud. Half an hour later, we all braced our feet against the underside of the mirror, and at a signal from Leo, pushed it away, or jumped off, depending on your frame of reference. The mirror glided out of the way to give us our first direct look at the Dabinernud. It was so close to us now that we could hardly see anything, just a single triangular facet of the icosahedron, filling most of our visual field. Essentially, all of the geometer's surveillance and remote sensing systems had been designed to look at things that were thousands of miles away. As Jessery and the others had learned when they had brought the Warden of Heaven here, the Dabinernud did have short-range radars for illuminating things that were nearby, but there was no reason to keep them switched on unless visitors were expected. And we had not emerged from behind the cold black mirror until we had approached too close even for those radars to work very well. This was partly luck. If our trajectory had been a little less precise, we'd have been forced to ditch the mirror farther out, and thereby exposed ourselves to the scrutiny of those systems. But Fra Jad had wielded his knife at just the right instant. If he did nothing else for the rest of the mission, he would still have earned his place. In order to see us, they'd have to literally see us. Someone would have to look out a window, or more likely at a spielecaptor feed, and just happened to notice 11 matte black humanoids gliding in against the background of space. Its surface was like a shingle beach, flat, assembled from countless pieces of asteroids that had been scavenged from four different cosmi. Light glinted among the stones, the wire mesh that held them together. It seemed as though we were going to collide with a shock piston, which cut straight across our path like a horizon. But we cleared it by a few yards and found ourselves gliding along above a new face of the icosahedron, currently in shadow. Each of us was armed with a spring-loaded gun. And so, at a signal from Leo, 11 grappling hooks shot out toward the rubble shield, trailing lines behind them. I'd estimate that half of them snagged in the mesh holding the rocks together. One by one, the grapnel lines went taut and began to pull back on those who had fired them. This caused the ropes that joined us to go tight in a complex and unpredictable train of events, and so there were a few moments of bashing into one another and gratuitous entanglement as the whole cell came to the end of this improvised web of tethers. Our momentum caused us to swing forward and down toward the rubble, a scary development that was somewhat mitigated by the four Veilers who had been issued cold gas thrusters that they held out before them like pistols and fired in the direction we didn't want to go. This led to further collisions and entanglements that bordered on the ridiculous, but did have the net effect of slowing us down some. As we got closer, we tried to get legs and or arms out in front of ourselves to serve as shock absorbers. I was able to plant my right foot on a boulder. The impact torqued me around. I spun and punched another 4.5-billion-year-old rock with the stumpy end of my suit arm, just in time to avoid planting my face on it. Then various ropes jerked on me from multiple vectors and dragged me along for a short ways. But soon everyone stopped bouncing and dragging and managed to grip the wire mesh with their fingers, giving Cell 317 a secure purchase on the Dabinernud.